I just want to suggest a thought as far as chapter 3. That what love has accomplished is that you and me became part of the family of God. We became children. But the scripture does not stop there. So we are all children of God. But coming to the thought of that hope, and things might not be manifested this way right now, the reason being is sometimes we don't act like the children of God. But the day is coming by His grace. But then He says, for we shall be like Him. Because why? We shall see Him as He is. And that children level, that children has been elevated a little bit, because not as any child, but we shall be like the Blessed One, like His Son, if you will, not in His what He is eternally in Himself as a person, but that perfect Son, as this perfect Son of Man that walked with all dignity, pleasing to the Father. So we are going to become sons from children. Also, we're going to be like Him, like sons. So that whosoever has this hope, what is this hope? Well, we all know that the Lord is coming, and that's a wonderful hope. But that hope, as far as John, is that I will be like Christ Jesus. So if I will take hold of that hope and think, what is the purpose of God's love for me? Is to be like the Lord Jesus Himself. Whosoever has this hope purifies himself. What is the measure of it? As He is pure. That when I consider that by the grace of God, God in His sovereign grace has decided that you and I will be like His Son, I'm going to challenge myself, as it were, that if I'm going to be like the Lord Jesus, I better be like the Lord Jesus here and start here on earth. Because why did God mark us out, predestine us, that we might be conformed into the image of His Son? And if I know that truth, that I'm going to be like His beloved Son, then it will give me this purifying effect. Oh, man, I better show some features of Christ, because eternally, I'm going to be like Him. So I want to be like Him here, right now. Whosoever has this hope purifies himself as He is pure. The Lord Jesus never asked us, through the Word of God, to do something that we are not capable of doing. And brethren, we can purify ourselves as He is pure simply because of the Spirit of God. We can love one another as He has loved us. It can be done simply because of the Spirit of God. Amen. And brethren, when we take hold of that truth, that I'm going to be like His Son, the Spirit of God will give us the help and the ability to purify ourselves as He is pure. And somehow, the reproduction of the life of my blessed Savior will be seen in your life and in my life here on earth.
Amen.
It's a matter of growing more Christ-like while Amen. We are still here, Amen. Right? And if we look back on verse 28, that includes that I should not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything in my life right now that I would be ashamed of if the Lord came in 5 minutes? That's the way I should look at it, shouldn't I? And shouldn't I remove that or change that with His help, with His grace? I can't. A lot of things I can never do by myself, but relying on Him to help me, He will certainly help me if there's anything in my life that is wrong, that is sinful, that I would be ashamed if He came in 5 minutes, for example. But this is so very important that we sometimes lose sight of that. There are things in our lives that need to be changed. If I want to be more Christ-like, first of all, I have to learn from Him what He is to be like Him, and then I want to desire to do that while I'm yet here.
The Lord's Supper also gives us another benefit to keeping before our consciousness on a regular basis the matter of His return. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth, you proclaim the Lord's death till He come. And so therefore, it might be something that could be read at some point during the breaking of bread meeting, or alluded to or referred to. but certainly perhaps some word or hymn at the end of the breaking of bread might, on a regular basis, keep the assembly and the assemblies constantly in focus. Someone has said the inward look, the backward look, and the forward look. So that helps, I think, to keep the urgency, so that it's not something that's in the background. We should at least once a week think about the Lord's coming, because at the supper, this should be a thought. The Lord died, He rose again, He's coming again.
Perhaps somebody can comment on in verse 28 again. But it's interesting that it says to abide in Him. And it points us to looking at Him and not to looking at myself as the solution. I wonder if perhaps somebody should say something on that.
In the Lord Jesus, we see absolute perfection. There is no sin in Him. He could not respond to sin when He was here. He's the only sinless man that ever walked on this earth. And that's a tremendous difference between the Lord and ourselves, because even though we are saved, most of us here are saved, we still have that old man. And that old man, unfortunately, hasn't gone away somewhere and died. And therefore, I have that new man, which is the man Christ Jesus, which I should be displaying. The old man is still with me. And this is where we have to curb, so to speak, that this old man doesn't come out in my life, the way I live, the things I say, the things I do. I want to reflect the new man who is fashioned after Christ, after the Lord Himself. And I think that may be of some help.
I think what the Lord said in John 15 might go along with this. Unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely nothing that old man can do, that the flesh can do. The flesh profiteth nothing, Scripture says. And if I try to purify myself in my own strength, or if I try to get a sense of urgency in my own power, it profits nothing. There's no ounce of ability in the flesh. And I need to see that. And the Lord would encourage us and say, unless you abide in me, unless you stay close to me and draw your strength from me, you can do nothing. I wonder if that doesn't go along with your thoughts.
John 15, verse 7. And it gives, solidifies what you're saying, that even more so. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye be in much faith, so shall ye be my disciples. So the complete thought is, abiding in Him has to do with His words abiding in me. And then my requests are based upon what is given to me in His Word. So it's not outside of Him. It's all wrapped up in Him. And if I abide in Him, His words abide in me, then I ask what I will. I am asking what His Word says.
Yeah.
Then God is glorified. And then fruit comes. Mm-hmm. So it's a complete picture. It's not what I do, but it's what He does in me.